Good morning. My name's Mike Clements and I'm part of the preaching team here at City Church Whitstable. This morning we're continuing on our series, Encountering Jesus. And in particular, we're going to be looking at encountering Jesus in the storm. So if you'd like to turn to your Bibles, we're going to be reading out of Luke 8, verse 22, starting at verse 22. So that's Luke 8, verse 22. It's entitled, Jesus Calms a Storm. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him? So let's pray. Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to allow your Holy Spirit to bring peace and joy through the revelation of this scripture that we're going to study together. Amen. So we're going to be looking first at the setting of this particular scripture. And we note that on this particular day, Jesus has been teaching on the west coast of the Lake of Galilee, near Capernaum, near the major cities of Capernaum, Magdala and Tiberias. And many crowds have gathered, and he's been teaching all day long. He's been ministering with healing and deliverance. And it's pretty obvious that from the scripture that he's exhausted. And this very much shows Jesus's true humanity. It shows the fact that even though whilst he is God, he's also man. So he's truly man and truly God. And he's the Son of God. But the disciples, as we see, what don't get that at all. They're in their journey with Jesus, even though they've seen many miracles and many wonderful things, they've not quite got the fact that he is the Son of God. They haven't quite got the fact that Jesus is in the boat with them. So he tends to use a boat to create some distance between himself and the crowd so that there's a better distribution of sound so that he can be in a boat speaking to them. But in this case, he actually commands the disciples, who are skilled fishermen and skilled sailors, to go across to the other side of the lake. And we notice in the next scripture that follows this, that actually waiting on the other side of the lake is a man in great distress and in himself in a great storm, albeit one that's is filled with demons, where he's cutting himself, he's breaking chains, he's actually a danger to himself and other people. So it's almost like Jesus, even though he's ministering to the crowd, he knows that on the other side of the lake, which is not as vastly populated as the side that he's on, there's a man in great distress. But we're going to see as we progress, we're going to see that our own disciples here are going to be in great, great distress because of a storm. So one of the points I want to make to start off with is that Jesus is in the boat with them, that they are in the boat with Jesus, that that represents our lives, that we who know Jesus as Lord, we can actually say that Jesus is in the boat with us. And really, because he said we're going to the other side, he hasn't said, oh, we're going to the other side, but we're drowning between. He's God. He would know what's going to happen. He's basically given them a command to go to the other side, but that command seems to have been forgotten in their head. But they have got Jesus on board their boat. Now, as we progress and look at this lesson, I just ask the question for you. Today, is Jesus on your boat? If you're facing storms and trials and tribulation, that are really real and really causing you great distress, then you need to turn to Jesus. You can turn to him and receive a peace and a joy that surpasses all understanding in the midst of your own trials and tribulations. So we know by our scripture that they soon set out. Some writers say this is in the winter of AD 29. They set out on this sea and they encounter a great storm. Now, this storm is not to be unexpected in that the Lake of Galilee is a well-known dangerous place to sail. In the summer and the winter, there are great storms that come about in almost out of nowhere. And what's happening here is that because the lake's surrounded by mountains, that cold air rushes down from the mountains, hits the warm air in the basin, which is the Lake of Galilee, and it causes great storms and great precipitations of water and rain and gusts of great storms that just beset whoever is on that particular lake. So the sailors and the fishermen amongst them would know that this was actually a likelihood. So the storm actually comes out of nowhere. What about in your life? Are you facing a storm that's come out of absolutely nowhere? Well, on one level, we can say that this pandemic is a storm that's come out of nowhere. One minute we were enjoying a normal life as much as we could, and then suddenly this pandemic has pushed us all into isolation and has taken lives, has blighted businesses, has caused great consternation and great anxiety and distress. So the storm here represents the storms of life. So even though we have got Jesus on board, it doesn't mean that we're likely to actually be free of storms in our Christian walk. In fact, in James 1, 2-3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So there is that sense that the storms of life can come out of nowhere, and they can be caused by all sorts of manner of things. They can be caused by grief. They can be caused by illness. They can be caused by unemployment. They can be caused like the pandemic that we've just spoken of. They can be caused because of conflict with others. But all of these storms are very distressing, and they're very uncomfortable, and they're very, very real, and they can cause us a lot of inner storm. So it's almost like the storm of the outside situation can cause a storm on the inside with our emotions and our feelings, even to the point of distress. So we're seeing that in this passage that the storm actually represents the trials of life. And we can see in the distress of the disciples, we can see that any trial of any kind, the last thing that we think of in our human nature is joy or peace. So to consider a trial or a storm pure joy seems ludicrous, especially when we look at the distress of the disciples. This storm is so bad. This storm is so potentially devastating that it's life-threatening. As far as these experienced fishermen go, they're basically at their wits' ends. They've tried everything in their skill. They've tried everything in their experience to contain the storm, but they're now at their total and utter wits' end. And the question really we can ask is, why have they left it so late? Why have they respected Jesus' sleep over their own safety? Why have they actually done that? Now, the problem is that in our own determination and our own independence, we do forget to include God in our daily travails. It can be so easy for us to forget that God has a peace and has a joy that he will pour out into us through faith. There is a peace and a joy even in the worst storm for us. And that might seem a ludicrous perspective, but it is the biblical perspective. It is a biblical concern that the way that we react to our storms is really important. And we see here that the distress has gone on for far too long. They've almost said enough is enough. I've had enough of this. We're going to have to turn to Jesus now. But why did they leave it so late? Why were they so independent? Why were they so quick to struggle and to be filled with fear when the source of great peace and great contentment is in the boat with them? So we see that they actually turn to Jesus and they wake him. And in other accounts, it's almost they almost accuse him of saying, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm going through such a terrible time?" They actually wake him up and say, "Master, Master, we're perishing. We've had it. We're at the end of it all. We've come to the end. All that we planned in life, all that we planned to see in you has come because of this storm." And Jesus says, you know, "Where is your faith?" He says, "Where is your faith?" Now, some commentators at this point would almost suggest that what Jesus is saying is that, "Where is your faith? Why don't you do what I'm about to do?" And what he does do is he stands up and he commands the storm to stop. And we know that he is coming against Satan in this, because some commentators note that the words that he uses in the other Gospels is "be still" or "be muzzled." And it's the same word that he uses to silence the demons that possess a person. He says, "be muzzled." So he almost declares to this storm, which is satanic, "be muzzled, Satan, be muzzled, be quiet." And instantly, a great calm falls upon the lake. A great and incredible peace stops the wind, stops the movement of millions of gallons of writhing water, of water that's like 10 foot high in waves, just suddenly comes to complete peace. Now, it's not that we recall that this is a record with words that mean that it took a month or so for the storm to die down, or a week, or a day, or hours. It actually was instantaneous that this storm was calmed. And in this command, this verbal command, we're seeing that Jesus is demonstrating his divinity. We're seeing God, Jesus, who is God. And in a way, we're not to be surprised at that in ourselves, because we have Paul's writing in Colossians 1:16 that say that for Jesus, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So in our terms, we know that Jesus is God Almighty. We know that Jesus in his majesty can calm the storm. But why do we, if we know that much, why do we still travail so much on our own? Why are we still trying to work things out in our own strength? Why do we still continue to rob ourselves of a peace and a joy that God intends to give us the moment that we run to him? Why can't we run early in our storms to Jesus? That's the question I'm asking. So just as the disciples ran to Jesus, even though they had little faith, they had faith. They were effective in waking Jesus up in the situation. So in a sense, the real waking up is in their minds. They woke up to the idea suddenly that, hang on a minute, Jesus is on board. Let's go to Jesus. And we're like that in our own travails and storms. We can be the same. We can suddenly almost be woken from a dream to say, hang on, I don't need to be like this. I can go to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Master. Jesus is God. He can help me. But he asks a question, where is your faith? He asks that question of them. And in the other passages, we hear of other things that he said. He said, why are you so afraid, ye of little faith? So the point of concern for Jesus is not, why didn't you calm the storm? Because these disciples, they're still early in their understanding of Jesus. They're still trying to get their head around Messiah. They're still trying to understand who Jesus is. And by this act of stilling the storm, it brings amazement to them. It brings awe, it brings wonder, it brings almost a fear with it to say, who is this man? Who is this man? But unlike them, we do have a full revelation of who Jesus is. He died for us on the cross. He died for our sins. He was resurrected from death to life. He ascended into heaven so that the Holy Spirit could be poured out at Pentecost and be available to us in such an intimate way. We don't have the excuse of the disciples where they've got a poor understanding of Jesus. We have a full revelation in the scriptures of the majesty of Jesus. Yet we too still struggle sometimes in coming early enough to Jesus for respite. So in terms of the question that Jesus is asking, I think that he's saying, why have you, your faith so small that you didn't know to run to me early on? Why is your faith in me so little that you tried to deal with all your problems on your own? What sort of faith is that? Why would you struggle with fear and distress? Why would you be so downcast? Why would you be so in such a poor and pitiful state when you know that I love you, that I'm for you, I'm not against you, that you can come and ask and receive my peace? So we've talked about this biblical perspective of joy and peace being the hallmark of a Christian, a hardened, battle-hardened Christian going through trials. We've heard of that, but where does it say that in the Bible? Well, if we turn to Philippians 4:8, it says some very challenging but very accessible things. It says some things in the scripture that allow us to encounter the peace and joy of Jesus, even in a storm. I'll read that scripture, Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So our God, who is in our boat, doesn't want us to be anxious about anything. Now, I don't think Jesus is disappointed that the disciples couldn't stop the storm. I don't think that he's rebuking them for not being full of faith enough to stop the storm. But I think he is saying that they had faith enough to rejoice in the situation, to have peace in the situation, by actually talking to him about their dilemma. So in our Philippians statement, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near, so the Lord is in your boat. And the Lord might appear like he's sleeping, but basically the waking up of Jesus has got to be in our realization that his peace and his mercy are accessible to us. How are they accessible? By exercising our faith. Our faith is trusting things unseen. It's by getting in that car of faith and actually driving it, turning the ignition key, remembering that that faith needs to be put into action. How can we put faith in action in distress? By prayer and petition. And that's by earnestly beseeching God to come and bring me peace. Bring me your peace. Let me have this peace that surpasses all understanding, that comforts my mind, that comforts my heart, that allows the Holy Spirit to for me to abide in the peace and the love of Jesus Christ, even though I face death, even though I face great tribulation, even though I face illness, I face conflict. I want to come and petition you, Lord. Petition means argue with God. I want to argue with God to say, I deserve and demand my peace because you died for me on the cross. You died for me so that I could stand before God and demand a peace and a joy that surpasses all understanding. So I'm not talking empty words of you should be like this. I'm not using the should word. I'm actually saying that you could. You could, in your travail and in your storm, you could have access and can have access to a peace that surpasses all understanding if you run to God in prayer. If you run to God in prayer, if you soak your situation in the presence of God, then he will give you a heartfelt and a mindful rest. Now, the other question that's asked at the end of all of this is by the disciples that say, who is this man? Who is this? And they're basically asking the question that you may be asking right now. Well, who is this Jesus that can give me a peace and a joy that surpasses all understanding? A peace and a joy that confounds the very storm, the anger of the storm. Who is this man? Well, this man is both man and God. He's Jesus Christ. He died for you on a cross. He's the creator of everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lord. He is majestic. He is powerful, but he is accessible. So we don't have to encounter the storm on our own. We can encounter the storm with Jesus. And the quicker we go in prayer and petition to God, the quicker we will attain this amazing peace and this amazing joy. So why don't you, if you are in a storm or a trial now, why don't you close your eyes and receive a blessing for this scripture? Father God, I just pray with all my heart, Lord, that anybody that's going through the storm that seems to be distressing them, Lord, that seems to be filling them with anxiety, that's filling us, Lord, with a great unease and a great anxiety, I pray that you would teach us to run to you, to wake you in our thoughts, to put that ignition key in faith and to ignite our faith that you can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Be merciful, I cry in the name of Jesus. Amen.